Hi, I'm Beth Massey, and I'm here with Zach Montoya, a developer intern on the .NET Runtime team. How's it going, Zach?
Going good.
Cool. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from? How did you get to Microsoft?
So I've pretty much lived my entire life in Arizona. Being there and having the in-state tuition, I decided to go to the University of Arizona. Started off doing engineering,
cool.
Still doing it, but I soon had to do a programming class, and I really loved it. So I also picked up computer science, and so that's really prepared me for this Microsoft internship.
Cool. So you got the internship, they came to your school type of thing,
mm-hmm.
and you said, this sounds like an awesome opportunity, and mm-hmm. did it? All right,
basically,
sweet.
Yeah.
So how's it been going on the runtime team?
It's been going pretty well. My team's really cool. I like the work that we're doing. The kind of low-level compiler stuff really fascinates me, so
cool.
I'm excited that I don't get to get my hands really dirty at this point, but getting this kind of introduction to it is really nice.
So what are you working on the runtime?
So there's this this project that's been going on for a couple years now. It's called Project End.
.NET Native.
.NET
yes.
Native, yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
Cool.
Yeah, so for those who might be unfamiliar with it, basically it's changing the way that Windows Store apps are compiled.
Because mm-hmm.
Before, you would take your C# app, you would convert it to MSIL, which is intermediate, not device-dependent at all. And then you download that onto your phone and or device or whatnot, and then it would have to run that and at the same time compile it to native code.
JIT compiling.
Yeah,
right?
JIT compiling.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Yeah, and so this kind of avoids it. This, what we're trying to do is just, you have your C# code and you immediately are able to compile it to native code for different architectures, so you don't have to compile just in time.
So you write in C#, and that's like, as you're developing, you're still using the Roslyn compiler then, but then like the compiler platform, but then there's another process that runs the native process.
Yeah. So it's a little bit separate. Right now, as I understand, we're still using the CLR on the desktop to just like for F5 to test it out.
Okay.
So you're still using your normal development cycle right there, but then after you complete your app and you want to make sure it works on your supported or on different architectures,
mm-hmm.
then you can compile it with .NET Native and run it as if you just had those resources.
Okay. So you pick the architecture specifically and you say compile
mm-hmm.
it. And then what does it do? Does it go through like the C++ compiler or what?
There's like a whole tool chain that it goes through where it just goes through a lot of IL transformations.
Okay.
But one of the best things about this is it goes through, not sure if it's the exact C++ compiler backend, but it goes through one that is very similar, so it has all these optimizations built in
okay. That
the JIT compiler wouldn't have.
So it pulls in all of the framework classes that you're using
mm-hmm.
then, and this spits out a native image?
Yeah.
So you don't actually need to like load the framework anywhere then?
Right. It takes the framework and incorporates it into your output,
cool.
So you don't have any external dependencies.
That's
you're,
cool.
Basically, your whole application is just isolated, so you can, if you compile it, you never have to look at external dependencies. Like unless you want to update it, you can recompile it later.
So I've been kind of like reading a little bit at the .NET team blog
mm-hmm.
has some good posts on .NET Native. I haven't
yeah.
really like dove into it, but
mm-hmm.
so it sounds like you could write C# code. You have the productivity of C#, but the speed of a native image.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah,
really
basically.
Great, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So it just speeds up the programming. Boom.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So what's the catch?
So that's actually a little bit where I plan.
Okay.
So one of the things that developers have to look out for is whenever they want to do dynamic programming, so
mm-hmm.
they want to look at their different code elements and then like ask, okay, can I get this type from, can I get this type and then can I instantiate a new one? And all this stuff that isn't statically declared in the program, that all usually requires the runtime to
right.
kind of go off and do those things, and it requires the metadata that the runtime has.
Because you have to do reflection,
mm-hmm.
that sort of thing. Okay.
Yeah, reflection, serialization.
Dynamic usually. At runtime
mm-hmm.
resolution. So, yeah, how do you solve that?
Yeah, how do we solve that? Well, what we need to do is be able to provide all the metadata beforehand that we might need.
Okay.
And so that's not something that we can really look for, like, as we're compiling this. We can look at, we can try and infer what types they want to use. But, someone can use just their own class that they made, and we even had no idea.
Right.
So we have this this tool called Runtime Directives, which is just an XML document. And there's very specific, types and different attributes you can apply to them.
Okay.
And so using those, you tell us, okay, for this namespace, you might want to add a particular Like you might want to be able to browse it, like look at the metadata. You might want to be able to, I guess not for namespace to do this, but maybe for a type, you might want to be able to activate it, or like call the constructor, okay. which is the activate attribute. So you give us a list of all the types or elements and, you know, what kind of policies you want us to apply to it so we can okay. keep that metadata.
I see. So you basically have control. The developer has control mm-hmm. over which additional types need to be inside the native image mm-hmm. because you can't infer everything if we're doing reflection or dynamic. Okay.
Right.
Interesting. All right. That's cool. That makes sense. I mean, I think typically you're probably reflecting over like app types inside your app anyways. Mm-hmm. But, you know, yeah, if you're doing something on the framework side, then you would need to tell the program. Okay. You need to tell mm-hmm. the native compiler to compile it in.
Yeah.
Okay. So what are you working on? What are you going to show? You got a little demo here.
Yeah. So let me actually just pull up an actual project. So what I'm writing is a Visual Studio extension. So the goal is, you know, hopefully we can ship this out with Visual Studio or, you know, the developer, like, or the release of Project Done and, or .NET Native. And we can actually have this built into here. Okay. So, let me...
By the way, just as an aside, mm-hmm. I can always tell a developer versus a PM because a PM uses the blue theme and the developers use black. But anyway, that's a side note.
Well, you're looking at the code all day. It's like, I don't want to look at the surprise stuff.
Right. All right, cool. Just funny. Yeah. Okay, cool. So you got an extension for VS. Cool. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So let me, once this loads up, it's going to load up a... instance of Visual Studio that has my project or has my extension.
So you're debugging the extension right now.
Basically, okay. Yeah. So let me load up this Hello World app. So right now we are only doing store apps. The goal in the end is to hopefully be able to move this across different applications. So just to give you an example of, you know, what I'm kind of basing this off of, there is this object browser which already built in Visual Studio, mm-hmm. which looks through your project and the summaries you reference, and you're just able to navigate like system. You can go through all the types and
right.
subclasses and stuff like that.
It's been there since the beginning of time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's so, just FYI.
Yeah. So that's always been there.
Yeah.
And so I really like this approach because then you can just drill down. You can look at your subclasses and say, okay, I know exactly like this is contained in this. I have these methods. So I wanted to do a similar thing with my project. So... let me actually pull it up here. So as you can tell, it kind of has a similar kind of approach on the left side.
I see.
So right now we're just looking at my project, and you can see my namespaces. You can see, okay, in this program class, here's the base types, and here's also the methods, which this one just named.
Okay.
And it has the parameters, which is this args or app. You have a constructor, and then you have, you know, all the... like properties and whatnot. Okay. So,
it's basically analyzing your program for all the types
mm-hmm.
That you're calling, right? And yeah. the methods are just the types.
Types, methods,
okay. Okay.
Even events. I think one of them might have okay. events in here.
So very similar to the object browser.
Yeah, it's very similar.
So here's where you define policies.
Exactly. So for this one, say I guess this is let's do namespace. You have these particular policies, so you have activate, browse, dynamic, and you have a certain set of policies you can apply. So we have different policies we can apply to each, but it also differs per code element. So the namespace has these particular ones, whereas a property has a subset of these. And so that's another kind of finer grain thing.
Okay.
And the whole idea is that I want people to be able to correctly write this XML document without having to know all the nitty-gritty stuff. Like, when you ask me the question, what does it do? This is where I would display help and kind of tell okay. them what it's all about so that they don't necessarily have to go to documentation. They can
Got
just
it.
Look at this and know, okay, I want, no matter what, I know this type will be able to be constructed dynamically or I can call stuff on it. Without.
Is this the RDXML?
RDXML.
RDXML. So the yeah. RDXML is used by the native to... decide what type should be included or not, mm-hmm. right? So this tool, you're just basically helping me out by creating the XML file for me.
Exactly.
Right? Okay, so
yeah,
it's just a visual representation of it. Cool.
Yeah, and then just by providing all the options, you already know like what can be allowed. You're not going to mess this up. So you can customize this all, and then when you're ready, you can apply
cool.
changes. I'll just do that really quickly. So let me just apply something to the constructor. Let me also just do this type. Allow me to browse it. And so this isn't automatically loading it right there, but I can go to here. I just created this sample testing XML. And you can see that create an XML document. So it has assembly name, namespace.
Well, that's handy. So then I don't have to create this myself or know how to construct the document itself. Mm-hmm. And so then what? So what do we do with this thing?
So this is what you would usually include when you are going to actually build your binaries through .NET Native. So right now...
So it's in preview. I know .NET Native is in preview. So you have to load, you have to install the preview, and then that basically allows you the option to compile to native, I think, right? Okay.
Right.
It just kind of looks for the RDXML in the same directory as your project?
It actually looks at the base of your project and just keeps scanning in, because you can have multiple RDXMLs.
Okay.
So it just pulls all together, and that's just the responsibility of the engine itself. That doesn't have much to do with mine, but I'm just trying to provide like one location where you can write all the pauses and whatnot.
That's handy. So you're going to release this as an extension on the gallery type thing that we can install?
Yeah, cool. Hopefully. Yeah, once I finish everything, hopefully. Once it's finished, which hopefully is, you know, by this internship, we'll see. It's pretty tight with some of the things I have to finish. But
cool. So how long are you here for?
I'm here for 12 weeks total. This is my eighth week.
Cool.
Wow, so I have.
So you better be hurrying up here and finishing this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. I like it. So I just noticed you were debugging the extension itself. Mm-hmm. So it looks fairly robust, actually. I think it would be actually pretty helpful for folks. So I am not an expert on the .NET Native stuff at all. So I apologize if I'm like completely naive about it. But I guess, so right now it's just for store apps, right? But are we planning on rolling that out to more app types?
I think that's the goal.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That's very cool. So we can read more about it on the .NET team blog, and hopefully you can get this project done soon,
so we can
use it.
Yeah.
Cool. So is there anything else, like, about, like, say, your experience here so far at Microsoft? Has it been fun? Are we cool people? Are we wacky? Are we crazy? Are you going to go back and tell your friends that Microsoft's awesome?
It's very awesome. Okay. Yeah, I definitely enjoy my time here. I've got to talk to and connect to a lot of interns because of the large intern program, so that's been a really great experience.
Cool.
And there's always something to do, and there's always something more to learn. Like I like seeing all like the MSR things come up, and every now and then I'll just, you know, learn about the speaker talking about this one side of the team as well. And so
we have a lot of brilliant people at this company. It's true.
Yeah.
So you know, you should be honored, and you're brilliant too. So that's why you're here, right? So anything else you wanna tell the community about, use .NET Native.
Use .NET Native.
Check out the preview.
Yeah, check out the preview.
We'll send a link. I'll post a link to this, you know, once it's available. Mm-hmm. We'll post a link to it next to the video so people can download it. Mm-hmm. But very cool. So thanks for sitting with me and walking me through this.
Thank you.
And thanks a lot.